This is directed to Michael and his future, but really to all of you, and I hope that God will use it to encourage your hearts. Several stops in the Bible, first of them in Daniel chapter number 2, a lengthy lead up to a very short point that I wish to make this evening. Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon. He is the king of kings. He's the ruler of the earth, really. He's the great world power of his day. He has a dream. He can't remember the dream. He wants the interpretation of the dream. And God sends Daniel, the Hebrew young man who at the time was not known as a prophet, but turned out to be a prophet of God, to recall the dream and to give the interpretation. And he says in verse 36 of Daniel 2, "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation there before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all." This is a worldwide empire, and a single man rules that worldwide empire. And the progression is this: "Thou art this head of gold. After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kings shall be divided. There shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, and the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kings shall be partly strong and partly broken." Quickly, quickly, God reveals to Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel the prophet the future of four great world empires. Babylon, the Medes and the Persian, the Greeks, and the fourth of these would be the Roman Empire. And from the days of the Roman Empire, the remnant of that empire abides in the world, in particular in the Western world, but it's miry, it's clay, it's mingled. God has had on this earth four great, powerful world empires ruled by a single man. And the fourth of those, the last of those, was the Roman Empire. Now turn in Luke chapter number 2. I'll show you how powerful and the extent of that kingdom. Luke chapter number 2 and reading verse number 1. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. "It came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus." That is the one man ruling the fourth power, the one man ruling the Roman Empire, "that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city." This Roman Empire has more power than your county authority, more power than your state government, more power than your federal government. This individual man had the power to tax the whole world. And they were forced by the power and authority of this Roman Empire to travel to the city of their birth, as if that didn't cost enough, to pay their taxes in person so the government could take an account of every single person and require every single person to support that government. That's a powerful empire. John chapter number 19. John 19, Jesus Christ is on trial. Though he is a Jew, though he is living in the region of Judea, he is subject to the emperor at Rome, who has the power to, well, let's take a look. John chapter 19, verse number 12. "From henceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." And then the Bible says in verse number 15, "They cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away." In the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, In the days of the Roman Empire, in the days of Caesar's power, in the days when one man had the power to tax all the world, if you did not pledge your allegiance to that one man, it could cost you your life. If you belonged to another religion, it didn't matter. If you followed another set of teachings, it didn't matter. If you had a higher calling and said God was your father, it didn't matter. Caesar had the power to set you free and let you go home or nail you to a cross. That's Rome. That's Rome. Look in Acts chapter 25. Acts 25, stay with me. It won't take long to get here, but I want you to see where we're going. Acts chapter 25 and verse number 11. Acts 25 and verse 11. Paul is on trial and he says, starting in verse 10, "Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest, for if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of those things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go." Paul is saved. He belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is serving Jesus Christ in the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. He is establishing churches, proclaiming the good news with signs and wonders accompanying. He is God's man for God's day, proclaiming the word of God, and yet he is subject to Caesar. Caesar has the power to take him out of circulation. Caesar has power to end his missionary travels. Caesar has power to imprison him for years at a time. Caesar has power to kill him if he wants to. That's it. That's power. You say, "Preacher, we got a lot of restrictions on us in America." You don't know anything about restrictions. You say, "Preacher, we get a lot of opposition. We go out to preach the word of God." Probably not. Ridicule, maybe laughter, maybe harassment, maybe. One man ruled an empire, and he could kill you or let you live. That's Caesar, sitting in the seat of government at Rome, permitted by God to be the ruler of the fourth great world power. That's how it was. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So in the days when Caesar ruled the world, in the days when Caesar had power to let you live or put you to death, in the days when Caesar had power to reach as far as his word could reach and force you to pay taxes to promote an empire and promote a government and spread a faith and a religion you didn't even believe in, there was a power in Rome superior to Caesar. There was a power in Rome superior to all the armies that marched under the banner of Rome. There was a power in Rome that was greater than a God allowed, we could say God established, worldwide empire. There was a power in the gospel that could not be hindered, could not be stopped, could not be prevailed against by the emperor himself. Praise the Lord. Now just hang on to that. We're getting close to the message here. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 and verse number 20. The apostle Paul, if you're familiar with the book of Acts, It's a strange thing. Paul would try to go to a city and the Holy Ghost wouldn't allow it. He'd try to go to a region and the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow it. He'd try to go to in one direction or another and the Holy Spirit would block him. And you say, well, why wouldn't the Lord allow Paul to go preach to these people? Doesn't everybody need to hear the gospel? Yes. And that's why Paul would block him. You say, I don't understand. Verse number 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Now Paul said, I wanted to go to Rome, but somebody beat me to it. I wanted to go preach the word of God right in the very heart of Caesar's empire. But the Lord wouldn't let me. He let somebody else go there. Now stay with me. Stay with me. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Don't know anything about that church. That he receive her in the Lord, become saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who for my life have laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And on he goes. There are churches. Well, they're not large. They can fit in a house. There are churches throughout Rome. There are believers throughout the city, the great capital city of the Roman Empire. And Paul didn't do that. And Peter didn't do that. And John didn't do that. And Thomas didn't do that. Somebody you've never heard of. Somebody that didn't make the Bible went into the very belly of the beast with the power of the Word of God and won souls to Jesus Christ and established a church at Rome, and you've never even heard his name. You know what the Lord needs? A few Pauls and a few Peters and a few Johns, but a whole lot of people nobody's ever heard of. Amen. To go somewhere where the gospel's never been, and by the power of God that is greater than the power of empires and dictators and kings and monarchs, plant God's flag where it's never flown before. And some guy who's not an apostle kept Paul from adding to his resume, I started a church at Rome. Well, Paul, if it wasn't you, who was it? It's not in the Bible. It's not in Acts. It's not in church history. It's recorded where it counts. In the record books of heaven, waiting for the day when the judgment seat of Christ will declare who has made for the Lord and for their eternal future rewards of gold and silver and precious stones. Who forsook a life of wood and hay and stubble. And Michael, all that really matters is that your works are known of God and that you go forth in the power of God. And whether you labor unknown or well known, labor for Jesus Christ. You say, you know, preacher, I've never won too many souls. I went to this town and just a few people got saved. We met a little church in a house and I don't see what the big deal is. Paul, who didn't get to go preach at Rome, wrote a letter to the church at Rome. How many people have been saved on Romans 1:16? How many people have been saved on Romans 3:23, 6:23, 10, 9, and 9 to 13? How many people have come to Christ through the teaching of justification and redemption in Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 5? There'd be no letter to the Roman Christians if there weren't any Roman Christians. And there wouldn't be any Roman Christians if that guy hadn't gone there. And we don't even know who that guy was. You know, the thoughts of Michael and of all of you and of all of you and of me, he just wants us to be that guy. That guy that doesn't have a name, that guy that doesn't make the church history books, that guy that isn't remembered for centuries, but just somebody who said, where is the place where there is no church? Where is the place where there are no believers? Well, you don't dare go to that place. That's Caesar's stronghold. You don't dare go to that place. That's the very seat of power of the great Roman Empire. You don't dare go to that place. Why, they kill Christians in this province and kill Christians in that province. They're about to put the great Apostle Paul to death. It's all right. Somebody needs to tell them. And if somebody can't get there, maybe nobody can. And a nobody went to Rome. And a nobody planted the church of God in the city where the world empire sat upon a throne. Isn't that amazing? Caesar sent his armies that way and they conquered, and sent his army that way and they prevailed, sent his army that way and they triumphed, and sent his armies that way and they spread the borders of Rome. And God sent his soldier the opposite way. Right into the darkness of that great, wicked, defiled city. And somebody just started. Can I tell you about Jesus Christ? Have you heard about Jesus Christ? Do you know that a man rose from the dead? Do you know that the Son of God paid for your sins? And before long, in a house over here, in a house over there, under a little shelter over there, the church of the living God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, proved to be a superior power to the world's greatest empire. Praise the Lord. Just try. Just take a chance. Just see if maybe God will use you. One more verse. This is so... I'm going to date myself here. This is so cool. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. Verse 21. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you. Chiefly... they that are of Caesar's household. The gospel just didn't get in his empire. It didn't just get in his capital city. It got in his family. Somebody won Caesar's kinfolk living under his roof to Jesus Christ. That's pretty amazing. They say, preacher, who am I? You don't need to be anybody. They say, preacher, I'm not all that talented. I'm not all that gifted. I don't have all that much self-confidence. Why don't you just be nobody? And go where Paul couldn't go. Go where Peter couldn't go. Go where John couldn't go. Go where an apostle couldn't go. Why couldn't they go there? Because this guy got there first. Paul said, Lord, I really want to go to Rome. God said, no, you can't go where anybody else is preaching. Well, who's preaching there? Nobody you've ever heard of. You wouldn't know him. Isn't that a blessing? You know, most of you that are here tonight that are saved, if we stood up and you gave the name of the person who led you to Christ, the rest of the room would say, I never heard of that person. Who's that? I don't know who that is. You know what gets people out of hell and into heaven? Somebody with the superior power, the Word of God, going where the gospel hasn't been. Maybe not your city, but maybe one street in your city. Maybe not your town, but maybe one house in your town. What can God do with nobodies? Praise the Lord. What can God, you say, preacher, our government, preacher, our society, preacher, things are so bad. Nothing going on today wasn't happening in Rome. You don't even want to read the accounts of the depravity in Rome. But somebody said, if Christ has the power to rise triumphantly over sin, death, hell, and the grave, He can get me to that town with that gospel, and I can proclaim it to those people, and we'll just see what happens.
Amen.
And what happens is God established a church in Rome with somebody you've never heard of. You know, the judgment seat of Christ, so many people, they're afraid of it. They dread the thought of standing there and having all their works tried. I'm just looking forward to however long it takes. Maybe God just suspends time and it lasts a billion years and 5 minutes don't go by. I don't know. Well, won't it be a thrill to just watch person after person after person you've never heard of receive the Medal of Honor? Receive crowns and rewards and to hear the stories of people like this. And wouldn't it be great instead of just making money and building a house and having a career and dying, wouldn't it be great to be one of those people whose tale isn't told now, but will be told then? Whoever this guy was, he took everybody that got saved through the gospel in Rome. He took all of them to heaven with him. Had a part in everybody that got saved through the book of Romans, going to heaven with him. You talk about investing well. You talk about a return on investment. Praise the Lord. I hope Jesus comes tonight. What if He doesn't come for several hundred more years? What if you won two people to Christ and they won two and they won two and they won two? That's why you can't get your rewards until after the rapture. Because your stock is still going up and up and up and up and up and up and up. Praise the Lord. Michael, be that guy. Brother, sister, be that guy. Who? Just somebody that believed the power of God could get the job done and gave it a shot and God blessed it. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word, the encouragement it is to our hearts. We pray, Lord, in particular tonight for Michael, that You would bless and use his life in a great way. We pray for these that have finished their college studies and their high school studies that, Lord, as they plan their future, it would include You at the very top of the list of to-do, of things that they must do in their lives. And, Lord, that You'd bless them and use them in some way or another for Your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name and amen.